Yud-Zayin Adar, Wednesday the 19th of March, Reb Gesh and Halivad, Reliability of the Torah.
I'm going to talk today about the subject called reliability of the Torah. Of all the aspects of the reliability of the Torah. And I'm going to talk about two different aspects. One is something I learned many, many years ago, must be 45 years ago, from the Kamshmolevich, in relation to something in this week's Seder, and connected to it, another thing going on to the reliability of the Sefer Torah, which we have in the Hebrew. How reliable is that? Now, the board of the Kamshmolevich was to answer quite a well-known kasha based on the Rashi in this week's Seder. Just to remind you of what had happened. Moshe Rabbeinu had told Aaron that he and his sons would have to eat the korbanos of the miluin. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
They could eat the korbanos of the miluin, even though they were now owners, because their respective son, brother, had died that day. They were owning him, and nevertheless they had to eat kodshim of the miluin. Moshe had thought that therefore meant who had in the normal kabbalas of the, like of the Rosh Chodesh, which would include the sawyer of Rosh Chodesh. Aaron did not. Moshe Rabbeinu Dorash, to discover what had happened. He found that the Miluim was indeed eaten, but the sawyer wasn't eaten, and he got angry, and he ordered their cows, ordered their toys, and he complained to Aaron, but through his sons, why didn't you eat the rice? And Aaron turned to him and said, well, we're oinonim him. And although you were told in relation to miluim, which is a korban only for that one occasion, he was sure, sort of, it doesn't mean to say you didn't apply a general rule. And then the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu heard it, and he was makabel v'ishma Moshe, and he says, and he was happy. And Rashi says that, Haida, he was prepared to admit I was wrong. There are two different guesses, actually, because Rashi says slightly differently what it says in Gemara Zvachim. In Gemara Zvachim, he said, I heard it and I forgot. In our Rashi, it seems to say that I hadn't yet heard it. And I was making up my own ideas. One way or the other, Moshe Rabbeinu admitted he was wrong. That is the Rashi here and the Gemara Zvachim. Fit the belt. What could Moshe Rabbeinu do if he didn't admit the truth? Let's consider. Comes along Aaron and says, I believe that when a Kohen throughout the days, Kohen or Kohen Gadol perhaps, who is Einan, he must not eat kosher. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu going to say? You're wrong, they should eat it. I mean, he's going to cause a mistake throughout the Dovers. He has to accept the embarrassment of saying, oh, I've got it wrong, oh. Yeah. Or even according to what the Gemara Zvachim, he submitted, I forgot. Well, it's not very nice to admit he forgot. What's he going to do? Say a lie and say, I never heard? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu know Midvar Sheker Tirchok? Yeah. What else could he have done? That's the kasher of the book. So Chaim Shmulevich comes along with quite a genius answer. Let me just mention his akdoma. His akdoma was that there are certain situations when people do something completely, or entitled to do something, which completely breaks the normal rules of the Torah. For example, there's Eitz L'Asos L'Hashem, Heferet Oseh, an emergency situation when we have to be mevatel, wound in for the sake of the whole Torah. Or Bitulei, Zehu Kiyumai is another principle. We even apply it ourselves, do we not? We move back to Shabbos, Achas, Kadesh, Shishma, Shabbos, Parah. And then you have another one, which is God L'Aveira L'Shma, Mitzvah Shemai L'Shma. An Aveira, which is done L'Shma, is a very good thing, and is more important, more desirable than a Mitzvah Shemai L'Shma. Right, that was what he started with as his Hanukkah. He said, now let's look at the situation from the point of view of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, we believe, it is factually accurate that every word of the Torah was given to Moshe by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he repeated it over to us. in the case of the Toshikov, eh? And Toshikov, he wrote it down exactly, word for word, letter for letter, as the Abishta told him. He wrote, Hashem said, write down by Yadaber Hashem El Moshe Lema, and he duly wrote down by Yadaber Hashem El Moshe Lema, absolutely as he was told. Now, this is a fundamental, isn't it? But how do we know that? Maybe he made a mistake, and we never know. Yeah. I mean, if Moshe Rabbeinu could make a mistake in the sense that he could forget something, or if he sometimes hadn't yet heard everything, well, there may be other things he hadn't heard of, and he might have made a mistake on. Let's take some obvious illustrations. Comes along at some sort of reform rabbi, and he wants to say that you could, in a case where there's a marriage which hasn't worked well, he tries to persuade the husband, will you give a get? The husband says no. No problem. You find Rabbonim can be matzah the Torim, so the woman can be matzah the Kiddushin, and set aside the Kiddushin. Stainished. Yeah, well, Moshe Rabbeinu forgot that thing. Well, he hadn't got around to telling us that thing. Yeah. Our assumption is more an assumption. It's a fundamental of our religion, which is what we say in Yigdal. Yeah. That Torah's, as you say, God gave his Torah to the Jewish people, and that means all the Torah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give to us was indeed given to us through Moshe Rabbeinu. There was nothing forgotten, which was meant to be handed over, that is, and nothing which was distorted. Now, once already, Moshe Rabbeinu has to admit to Aaron, oh, I forgot that, or, I haven't been told about that, then straight away you can say, well, maybe he forgot something else, and maybe he got something else wrong he wasn't told about. So, in fact, the Chash would have said, if I had been Moshe Rabbeinu, I would have thought this is an appropriate case of Eistas Hashem, we fail to a Zechor, and lie. That's what I would have done, he said. Logically, you should have lied. You can see the logic is fair. Yeah, is that clear?
Mm-hmm. They take the truth, the rest of the Torah.
You're destroying the foundation of the Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu can't make mistakes. So he said, what attack was the Torah? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do it? So he went off on something which he used to talk about a bit, which was, in another context, the Gemara says in relation to God Laveh Lishma, the Mitzvah Shalom Lishma, we learn that from Yahu. Remember, Sisera was running away from the battle, and he went to the tent of Yahu. And Yahu, in order to weaken him and get him to fall asleep, in order to kill him, she was prepared even to have relations with him. And Gemara says she's an HSH, so how could she do that? And Gemara says, well, could God love her Lishma? Mimitzvah Shalom Lishma. Afraid the Gemara, Vahokom is Hani Me'aveva. She would have had enjoyment from the Aveva. So the Gemara says, so Vosom Shal Vashoim, Rohu, Eitzel Sadikim. The whole thing was to her, the whole thing was terribly meas and disgusting, and she was only doing it Shemba. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, I think, was the first one who says, makes the point, that where do we say God Lave Lishma, the Mitzvah Shalai Lishma, only if you can do it completely and absolutely the Shem Shemai. Now, normally when you do a mitzvah, even Shalai Lishma, Mitzvah Shalai Lishma is also something. A mitzvah which is mixed, Lishma and Shalai Lishma, is a very good thing. The Mishnah Berurah Paskens, somebody who's Eisiv B'Mitzvah, has a Ketuah, Eisiv B'Mitzvah, Potter Bin HaMitzvah, even if he's motivated not only with the Watson to do the mitzvah, but also some other personal benefit, like the person who is paid to write Tefillin and Mezuzahs. He wants his money, but he also wants to do the mitzvah. That's a person who's also Eisiv B'Mitzvah, Potter Bin HaMitzvah. That's normal mitzvahs. But if you're going to do an Aveira, and start saying, I'm doing it, L'Shem Hashem, it's got to be completely, absolutely, L'Shem Hashem. That's what we see from this Gemara, that the Gemara says, Chokom is Hani Me'aveira, even though she was doing it with a basic motivation of helping Kali Yisrael, and was so she had no benefit at all. So therefore said, I'll tell you why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lie, although it would have been desirable. Because had he lied, it would have been a lot more nice to lie than to admit the truth. Oh, I made a muck up. I got it wrong. I forgot. You know, it's a bit embarrassing, is it not? You are Moshe Rabbeinu. Everybody's relying upon you to tell over the Torah's Hashem, and you have now to admit, I forgot that. Yeah? So that would have been, it was a benefit for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the lie. And therefore, he wasn't allowed to tell the lie on the principle of Yisrael. Our Kolpani, what do we see from the Chaim Shmuel Lelish? A really quite simple thing, and I'm sure we all know it. But just emphasizing this point of the total reliability of our Sefer Torah as given to us, and the Torah Shel Baal Peh, by Moshe Rabbeinu. That is our fundamental in our religion, that what we was given to Moshe Rabbeinu was by Hashem, is what exactly he handed over. Okay?
You haven't answered the question, though.
Well, I have.
Yeah.
I thought I had. What haven't I answered?
Sorry, if Moshe Rabbeinu could forget this halacha, how do we know?
Yeah.
That he didn't forget.
Indeed, he put himself into it. We, therefore, what we are actually saying is, it may be during the course of the time, in the 40 years, he forgot something, but at the end, it was put right. So when we say that the Torah's Moshe is absolute and perfect, I mean, the same Torah that actually was written by him and handed over to the Shvatim at the end, and the Torah as at the end, when he said to Yeshua, right, I'm about to die, that's it. But he might have made a mistake in the course of the 40 years, but he would have always put it right. So we don't necessarily, as you see from this,
his memory is faulty, how can you put it right?
Because you see, he was reminded by Aaron.
Aaron didn't, but there was not a covenant of Torah in the Shemite.
True, but now Aaron told Moshe, you've got it wrong. That is, I think in logic, you've got it wrong. And Moshe is now saying, you're right, I now remember I was told that, and I forgot. If Aaron had not reminded him, then some other way he would have been reminded of the correct deed. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we do not assume this was perfect. Moshe Rabbeinu, as a human being, made mistakes. Greater, his avail was maybe minuscule, but he made mistakes, and he argued with Kodesh Baruch Hu when he didn't want to accept the job, and he saw and Kodesh Baruch Hu got annoyed with him, and he said, Mechenin on the Kodesh Kosafto, and he hit the rock. So he did, he could make mistakes as a person. We don't talk about Moshe Rabbeinu as the lawgiver. What we actually see from this parasha, is mefurish, that he forgot. But then, that therefore, when we say Moshe Rabbeinu as the lawgiver of mistakes, we mean only that at the end of the process of the 40 years, he did not make a mistake. And it was all accurate.
And so even without this Maaser,
yeah.
Everyone knows that Moshe Rabbeinu was, at the end of it, a human being. And everyone knows that he could theoretically have been susceptible to human failings. And you either believe that what we've got is correct, or you don't. You don't know these incidents. He admitted, he didn't admit, he forgot, he didn't forget. We know he was, by definition, imperfect, because he was a human being. So,
as a person, he was, of course, as Edda said, liable to make mistakes. But don't we believe, I'm sure we do believe, that it is that everything which in the tale which in the end of those 40 years was exactly what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to receive.
Without a Maaser, you don't.
Yeah, but the problem is of that Maaser, which is what you're pointing out. That Maaser shows that Moshe Rabbeinu could in halacha during the 40 years.
He
could have been, and that was what Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Hamshad, should have been worried about, and therefore he should have lied. And the answer is that we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end, everything was correct. And it might have gone wrong in the course of it. But it's not the only... I didn't intend to mention this at all, but since we've diverged...
Yeah.
Let me just do an illustration, an equivalent. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says that any novel who says anything which he prophesies that something was going to be bad, so sometimes Kodesh Baruch Hu changes it. As we see from, for example, the Anshei Nineveh... That Nineveh net poches, and it wasn't. On the other hand, if a Novi says that something good is going to happen, it must happen. Otherwise, how do you know it's a Novi M? It's not a Sheker. Fit the Gemara, Lushenim ask. We find once that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Lord, doesn't happen. And it was a type, because he said, Ad Yahweh am Hashem, Ad Yahweh am Zukhanisa, which is meant to be, to mean, just like there were great miracles when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, when they went out of Mitzrayim, there would be equivalent miracles when they came up from the Golas Bogdan. But they didn't. So what's the answer? There's a number of answers. But one answer is, it doesn't matter, because nobody is going to doubt this whole reason that Moshe Rabbeinu, that a Novi who says good, we have to, if a Novi says something good, it always happens, is only because we want to trust the Novi. Everybody trusts Moshe Rabbeinu anyway. We trust him anyway. When Yirmiyah were to say something, and Rosh makes that clear allusion to Yirmiyah, he would indeed say, didn't happen. He promised us something good. Can't trust him anymore. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, positive to God, b'chol yamin u'layla. So we don't have any doubt about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah? Not happy? Look, it's Mepham Shemel said that. I heard it. And if you don't believe I heard it, it's not quite that way, but it's virtually, you'll find it twice in the books. I looked it up. Those books, which was brought out in the if you look in the index, you'll find that bit which I've said is there. Well, lost a bit of time. Now, we tended to talk about how far this Sefer Torah, these Sefer Torah, how far are they accurate? And to that, I want to go on to a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed. Which is a well-known Gemara. But the Stickle, which talks about the Sefer Torah. It starts, one of the things it refers to is this in this week's Seder, where it says, Dorosh, Dorosh, Moshe, and it says, this is the two middle words of the Torah. It mentions Gochain as being the Vav of Gochain is the middle letter of the Sefer Torah, and it mentions that the middle Posuk is the Posuk of the Tiskalach, Bes HaNesek Le'Yalef. And I'm short of time. Can I just mention that it's obvious that even a non-Baal Musa can immediately see the point of these three. When you talk about the Vav of Gochain as the other one, and the Vav, by the way, is written as a big Vav, that tells us the Yisod is the Yid has to be upright and straight. And the word is Gochain, which tells you that you've got to look at yourself as if you're on the ground and be an oral, yeah? And then the prophet Dorosh Dorosh, which is the middle two words, is telling you to be Dorosh, the Torah, keep on working at it and not thinking you know it. And the Tiskaloch, which is the idea of cutting off the superfluous hair. Hair grows and has not become unnecessary. Tiskaloch, get rid of these moses. Vesanesek legaleh, but don't cut out your mailers and assume you haven't done them. Now, I don't intend to talk about the obvious problem, which is, if you like, remembered last week's Sedra, when you were Marvis Sedra, you would have noticed that it said there that the middle posset is not the one that was quoted, but another posset. I have no time to talk about that because we're out of time. I do want to talk about the middle letter. The Gemara says here, Rav Yosef asked, that Vav, which is in the middle, which way is it? Is it on the first half or the second half? In other words, if the letters are even, it can't be the middle letter. It must be one or the other. Is it perhaps the middle one? Is it indeed odd letters in the term? And so somebody said, why don't we count? Just sit down, add up all the letters, and you'll see it. Said Rav Yosef, Nishthofen, Ein onu bekiyin b'chaseiros b'yaseiros. We are not accurate in knowing what are the times when a term is something. Adds in what?
Full spellings.
Blanks.
Full
spellings or deficient spellings.
Indeed. Like, for example, Aharon, you can write Alfei Reish Vav Nun, and sometimes it's written like that, and sometimes it's written without the Vav. Many times a Vav can be with an I sound, a Chayon can be written with or without. Sometimes a Yud is an irrelevancy. So therefore, says Rav Yosef, our Sefer Torah, we don't know. You know, we're not. There's no point trying to add it up because we don't know what it ought to be. That's what the Gemara says there. It's not only that. I'm sure you know that there's a well. There are some machlekas in between the Ashkenaz and Sephardi Sefer Torah. So, for example, the most obvious one is Betzua Dakla, which for Dover Davis, the Ashkenazim would be writing Dalet Kaf Aleph. Whereas the Sfardim wrote Dalet Kaf Hei, the Vilnagorn said it should be Dalet Kaf Hei. The net result is that the people, the Sefer now in Eretz Yisrael, are taking on a minute of the Gorn, like they do for the Shomu and Baruch Hashem La'olam. And without all the Sefer Torah coming out of Yisrael now, Dalet Kaf Hei, and apart from books perhaps, and a few shuls have got old Sefer Torah, all Sefer Torah are now Dalet Kaf Hei. But we can't know which one is accurate. Yeah, there are some other ones, like in relation to Vayehi, Yemei Noyachi. Or is it Vayehu, Yemei Noyachi, the only final thing between Ashkenaz and Svart. As a result of that, the Chasam Sofer, in Simon Lama Base, Simon Nun Base, and Nun Dalet, in Ohio, says that when somebody's writing the Sefer Torah, the last couple of letters, the person who pays for it, as it were, is writing, he doesn't make a broch. Why doesn't he make a broch? Well, see the Sefer Torah? So I'd say, because our Sefer Torah is only a Sophic. Well, actually, we're not yet seeing our Sefer Torah. The mitzvah see the Sefer Torah, because in order to be in the Chaseiros, that's a custom Sefer. And I saw in the Sefer...
Well, that's
a bit of a problem. The answer to that is that since this is the best Sefer Torah we've got, this is what we have to do.
The Sefer maker.
But there are variations between the Sefer Torah, between us and the Ashkenazim, and the Zohar, and Bechlau, we know we've got these problems. Can I just carry on? We already have one on this jurisdiction. So, and in fact, there's a Sefer called Yitziv Emes. Sorry, not Yitziv Emes, it's called Divrei Yitziv. That's from the Krasenberg, yes, the last Krasenberg or whatever, and he quotes someone as saying that therefore there's not much point in making a great big suda when you have when you bring in a Sefer Torah. In fact, it's not a suda's mitzvah, because it's not a mitzvah. It's enough to have a bit of lechem and warmth, nothing more than that. And he's actually said that. So, and what the person who's actually applied that to see the Sefer Torah was a Shabbos Aryeh. Simon Lama Base, where he says, since Ein Olam B'Kiyum HaSeiros V'Yaseiros, there is Bismarck's there, no mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. There's no point. Simply no point in anybody spending, how much it costs, £20,000, £30,000 in Sefer Torah? What?
$50,000.
Whatever it is, it's a waste of time. except if it made a Sefer Torah for the shul. Now, the Moshe Feinstein in Simon, Simon Kufsamat Gimel, he says, hold on, he says, why does the Shabbos Aryeh take for granted that it's not a no point? He says, surely there's a Sophic. Maybe our Sefer Torah's all right. Maybe. And then what he says is, well, actually, our Sefer Torah is possible according to every day we know of. Because every now and then we have a Rashi saying, for example, Kaunas. He tells us which one is written Moray, but it's not. And Tosus has a different shita on different things. And there's a whole, and there's other things which we know ought to be Moray, according to the Gemara, or vice versa, and they're not. A full list you actually find in the Kivega on Shabbos of Nun Hay, where he goes through a whole list of differences between our Sefer Torah and the Rashi, Tosus, the Yushalmi, the Bavli, and the Midrash. Sufficiently, the Moshe, because I know you won't believe me on this, that therefore I'll actually quote the words of the great man. Lochem, kivan shechazinam, shemin hagenu hu, to loike Bavli, the loike Yushalmi, the loike Midrash Rabba, the loike Rashi, the loike Tosfos, the I'm the Gideon of the Kivaya, Mashizer, Shabbos Aryeh, the Vat Aksulim, look impossible again. There was a chance of our Sefer Torah being right is so remote that the Shabbos Aryeh is saying there's no point. And he goes on to say, well, that's maybe the reason why people, Anshei Maisa and Tzadikim, never bothered to write a Sefer Torah. They knew there was no point in trying to write a Sefer Torah, although it's not counted as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Well, it might be a desirable, and perhaps I've got less time than I imagined I would have, just to see if we can find Epesah Yishuv for the Minigaylon of actually some people who've got a lot of money writing the Sefer Torah, at least and somebody else writing, and the men of all of us taking part in this Sudas and thinking we're doing a good thing. And two people who, that is to say, not to say that the Sefer Torah we've got here is actually the same Sefer Torah as Moshe Rabbeinu's. If therefore, Moshe comes in Yosh, and we discover the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which will be when they take out the Oronat, which was hidden by Yeshayahu, and that will have us by the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, we will obviously have to find these, we find discrepancies, as we've now been told by the Moshe. It's going to be different. But is it okay, as far as the mitzvahs, see the Sefer Torah, which is what we're worrying about? And on that you find both the Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Ayin Reish, and as well as the Klausenberger in his Sefer Divrei Yetziv. They both say that our Sefer Torah, we have a mitzvah k'sima Sefer Torah. And what their logic is, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us a mitzvah, a dreilus of k'sima Sefer Torah. And the Eibishter knows that during the course of time, there will be pogroms, and there will be persecutions. And there will be other times when there will be hardly any Sefer Torah around. And they know when people copy the Sefer Torah, there's liable to be errors. The Eibishter knew all of this. And the Eibishter knew, therefore, that Sifrei Torah, in the course of time, would contain inaccuracies. This is inevitable, which are dealing with human beings. So that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu told us to write the Sefer Torah, he meant the Sefer Torah, which is the best Sefer Torah we can write. In many times in life, you can't actually get perfection, but the perfection is to get the best that you could get. Yeah. So therefore, the best, the mitzvah, k'siva Sefer Torah, is not to write the one that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, because that's what Moshe said he wrote. We almost certainly haven't got. But it's to write the best Sefer Torah that is which fits in within our Masoros. That's what the. And some years ago, I was speaking to my late brother-in-law, Diane Berkowitz, about this, and he wanted to bring a diuk for the Rambam to back up this idea. And to my mind, you don't need to worry about the yeser, the yitter of the Rambam. I think it's mefurish in the Rambam what this principle. The Rambam is worried, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Ches, he's worried about the fact that there are many different Sefer Torah, which he'd seen, having different parshas, dumas and psukas, which also pass on the Sefer Torah if they want. And therefore he gives a whole list Psuchas and Stumas, and also how to write the Shira. He gives them. And he says that in order to do that, he had to rely upon a Sefer. And what did he assume was the accurate Sefer? And he wrote, like, the Sefer Shesamachnu Olof, Bidvoyim Eilu, who are Sefer HaYudua B'Mitzrayim, there's one that Sefer in Egypt, Shukel Abor V'Esrim Sfoy, which contains the full 24 books of the Tanakh. You realize that is now the Keser Aron Sofer he was referring to, which is in which was up in Aleppo, which is nowadays part of it is in the Israel Museum. It's the Ben Osher, absolutely, as you're going to say. Shehoyev Yishalayim Mekama Shonim Lahagia Mimena Asforim For all of Hoyu Akel Sonchim. Everybody relied upon that. The Visha Higu Boy Ben Osher predicted by Shonim Harbour. So there was, notice he's mentioned two points. There's a Sefer which everybody's been relying upon for now hundreds of years. And we know it's got a good provenance because it had been written by this man, Ben Osher, who had been very careful for many years. The Higu Pa'omim Rabbas, Kemoshe Tiku. And then he adds, V'olov Somachti, and I relied upon that Sefer, the Sefer Torah Shekosafti. When I, the Rambam, wrote my Sefer Torah, I took that Sefer Ben Osher, and I copied it bit by bit. And then he adds, Kehil Chosai. So my father-in-law, Bel Berkowitz, said, what do you mean, Kehil Chosai? You're shrimming a Sefer Torah, shall I Kehil Chosai? What does Rambam mean when he adds, I wrote the Sefer Torah Kehalocha? He must mean, he was trying to be tight, he means to say, that is what the halacha is. To find, therefore, a Sefer Torah, which is a reliable Sefer Torah, which has been used for many days, and that is the mitzvah of the halacha, to copy that, that is the mitzvah of Sefer Torah. I thought even without the word Kehil Chosai, the mere fact that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam himself, Zichamad, must have known the Gemara in Kiddushin. He would have known, Einon of the Key, the Chaseos, the Assailants. And nevertheless, he paskened in the previous pair of Zion that it is a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. Kenege, the Shagas Aryeh, the Moshe. He knows that it is problems, and he's knowing, nevertheless, that he's got a mitzvah to write it. And he's saying there are many different Sforim. And nevertheless, he did write a Sefer Torah. And what did he do? He relied upon one which had a good Messiah, and which has been used for many people. So that, I think, tells us, to sum up, subject to, notwithstanding all the objections, the fundamental principle is that all the, at the end of the period of the 40 years, the Torah was which HaKadosh Baruch had wanted Klal Yisrael to get, that Torah had been handed over completely to Moshe Rabbeinu and accurately handed over to Klal Yisrael, both in Ksav and Baal Peh. Unfortunately, the Sefer Torah, which we've got now in the Heichal, due to the Tzoros and the Golos and whatever, is unlikely to be exactly the same as Moshe Rabbeinu's, because many errors must have fallen in, come in during the course of time. We know there's a difference between Ashkenaz and Sfarim in about 10 places, actually, and we know that also that in honor of the king of Haseus Yoseus, I quote you to Moshe, but nevertheless, it would appear, put in the place game, that there is still a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, because Malazah, doing the best we can.